All right, folks, welcome back to the latest and maybe a first edition. We did these last year, mini episode podcast. Check us out of obviously MWWire.com, Facebook, Twitter, all that great stuff, MWC Wire. Jeremy Moss here. We are starting our very first non-conference football previews, primers, whatever you want to call it, in June here. So we'll hopefully, goal is to get as many teams as possible. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but we got a good one first going on here. Wisconsin Badgers, who are taking on New Mexico and Lobo, so it'll be a football game. And joining us now, I got a good buddy who's been on a couple times before, Jake Kukorowski over at Bucky's5thquarter.com. So thanks for hopping on this evening.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Great talking with you again, man.
Exactly. Now we're past our half-hour pre-show of rambling. We're good to go.
That's always fun talking to you, man. Good just being back talking with you, and a lot to talk about with the Badgers.
It is. It should be, like I said, it's a football game, technically, because, honestly, you and I both know New Mexico has, what, I can't say 0% chance, but a couple percent chance. So the main thing about this, when we talk about these games that are probably not going to be close, is just get to know the opponent, because it could be fun. Like, hey, New Mexico gets to go to Camp Randall and play the Badgers. That's a pretty big deal. And anything could happen. Like, I joke, it's a football game, but hey, we've seen App State beat Michigan. We've seen Stanford, USC. We've seen a lot of big games. Like, something could happen, but let's start with this really quick with you. All right, Jake, so we got this game. Oh, maybe I should tell when the game begins, because TV news came out recently. Big Ten Network, 12 Eastern, September 8th, week 2, maybe week 3 if you're lucky to play this week 0 game. So that's when it comes out. So we got some good weather, hopefully, right? It's pretty good weather in mid-September, or Labor Day weekend, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, looking at it right now, yeah, it is the 8th. I think the 31st is Memorial Day weekend, so it's a week after. Yeah. I mean, 11 a.m. start. I mean, it should be – it gets hot in that press box. I'll be honest with you. Like, we may be sweating up there just because they don't have – the AC works well at the second and third levels, but when you're down at that bottom level, it sizzles a little bit. So, it should be right by, 80s, 70s, right around there, unless a cold front comes through. Usually a beautiful time. I was just down at the terrace at the Memorial Union Terrace on Friday night, and it's one of the most spectacular sights you'll ever see out there. It's one of the best things to do in Wisconsin, in my opinion, is grab a spotted cow out on the terrace. So, it should be a good time in September.
So let me ask you this. With it being 11 a.m. local kickoff, what's the tailgating like for that early morning game?
Man, people still come out. You know, honestly, I now park where I've kind of been upgraded, if you will, since I've been covering the team. Now, it's going to be going on 5 years. I've been covering games for about 3 of them. It'll be going on my 4th year on that. I'm up in the parking where I go through now more of the western side of the campus, but I used to be on the central or near eastern part of the campus, and I used to walk up and down Regent Street, and there would be tons of people lined up. It didn't matter what time. It could have been a 2:30 kickoff. It could have been, so I'd be down there about 12:30, could have been there at 11, could have been there at 7 p.m. where with a 5:30, so I'd get down there by about 5:30. People are tailgating whenever, man. It's for those that don't know, coming to Madison for tailgate, you know, if you're an opposing team's fan, come to Madison to check it out. I mean, for these non-conference games, you can probably get them for a decent price, but also the atmosphere is, in my opinion, second to none. You know, and it's just people are outside grilling. It's 7 a.m. Like, I'm there, but usually by about 8:30, 9 o'clock to get down to the stadium to get some pre-work done. Any injuries, just watch what's going on when it comes to pre-game workouts. But honestly, people are grilling. The smells are there. You know, you do hear the beer, the beer cans clattering up against the garbages and whatnot. People are having a good time, but it's a sight, man. It's always great here in Madison. It makes it one of the best. I know I'm biased because I went to school here, but really, even after school, you get to take in more of the tailgating. It's quite the sight.
All right. I had a question for you because I recorded the basketball podcast earlier. And depending when you're listening to this, it's a summer season, so you're barbecuing or grilling. What is a barbecue to you? Because I want to take this audio and shove it to our basketball guy's face and say, hey, this is a barbecue, not what you told me. So out of Wisconsin, what's considered a barbecue?
Ooh, I mean,
you better get, you better give me the right answer. I look foolish.
Right. No, I mean, honestly, usually, I know you're looking at this, like, with barbecue, like, even just, I mean, straight out grilling, You got to have your brats. I mean, there's different types of brats. I mean, I like Clements brats out of Milwaukee. There's also Johnsonville, which is like the main one in the state now. You Singers and Clements are, I'm from Milwaukee, so those are my two go-to companies for those brats. Brats, you get them in there, you kind of parboil them in some beer and some onions, get a little bit of that flavor, and then you throw them up on the grill for a little bit. You don't want to like get the casing, you know, broken too much, and you don't want to have a 6-inch, you know, burnt brat. So you don't want to keep it on there long, but you want to get a little bit of nice crisp there. So I have that. I mean, it really depends upon which you go to. I mean, the beer is the biggest thing in my opinion when it comes to grilling. But I would say brats, get some good burgers on there and go with it. And if you have like some, I'm sure there's some people there. I mean, you also have with a good pick, you know, good grill out for a tailgate. Mm-hmm. You have crackers. It's your standard Wisconsin crackers, cheese, sausage. Yes. You know, on that end. So, but no, I go with my brats. I just parboil them, get some good flavor in them, and throw them on the grill for a little bit. And voila, man, get some sauerkraut going. Some stadium sauce from Milwaukee. That's where from Miller Park, where the brewers are. I have a little bit of that, a little bit of Milwaukee flavor. You can't go wrong.
Good answer. So he told me, he's from Seattle, so he goes, is burgers and hot dogs? I'm like, oh, not so much. That's a cookout.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, like, you know, I'm trying to eat healthier. Everyone is now, so I'll throw out some, like, grilled chicken, you know, get some barbecue sauce on that. To me, nothing tastes better than a good barbecued chicken. No kidding, outside of a steak that would cost me way too much money for what I get paid for here at Bucky's Fifth Quarter. But I would say brats, man. It's, yeah. I mean... It's good. And if you grill some good hot dogs, if you get some good beef hot dogs, it means like Hebrew National hot dogs are some of my favorite to you. The kids love them. But those are really good quality as well. So, I mean, good. You know, there's something to be said about a good grilled hot dog too. But brats, you got to take – that's how you take it home.
I will say this. Brats are probably the most underrated type of food you could grill or have a sort of barbecue with, because so many combinations. It's like hot dog, whatever. They can be good. But if you're a good brat, man, whew, that's the way to go.
Exactly.
All right, so let's get some football stuff here. So we got, as we keep saying, we'll get to the game here. Because that's the good stuff. The atmosphere, the environment for these games you don't get to go to. It's like when you go to non-conference road games for Wisconsin, you want to go see what happens, see what the atmosphere is like. So we're going to bring that to Lobos fans who want to make the trek from Albuquerque out there to Madison, because make it a vacation. Have some fun. Spend a couple days. So that's kind of, we'll have you as our tour guide a little bit as well, in addition to some football knowledge. So I guess let's start with this. The biggest question for me for Wisconsin, what I've watched and kind of followed, and it's going to be the same question. You know where I'm coming with this on offense. Quarterback accuracy with Alex Hornibrook. What? He's going to his third year, but second year as the guy. Is that correct?
It's going to be his fourth year. He redshirted in 15, 16, and 17 starters. Yeah, he's going to be a redshirt junior heading into this upcoming season.
So I know he played the Cotton Bowl a little bit versus Western Michigan.
Right.
And last year he played – but last year was his first year as basically the full-fledged
– Yeah, the starter. Right, yeah.
What do you guys want to see from him? Like, he had 15 picks last year. Not great. Wisconsin, we know they're going to run the ball with Jonathan Taylor. But what – is the quarterback position what they want to see improve to maybe take the next step to – playoff team, challenge for national title, win the Big Ten. Like, is that one of the biggest spots on this team where there could be the most improvement?
I mean, yeah, you take a look at, I mean, yeah, Alex Hornibrook, I mean, the quarterback position at Wisconsin, let me just forewarn everybody too, as a disclaimer quickly, is that ever since Russell Wilson, everyone wants a Wisconsin quarterback to be like Russell Wilson. And it's a once-in-a-generation player, once-in-a-decade type player, and how that fell into his life. I mean, Russell Wilson really made the difference for that team where who was going to be the quarterback, John Budmeyer, who is the quarterback coach now at Wisconsin, he injured his, you know, it could have been Joel Stavi as a true freshman potentially starting for Wisconsin if Russell Wilson did not transfer to Wisconsin. So that is interesting, is a what if. But yeah, everyone ever since then, Joel Stavi's had trouble. You know, I mean, he was a former walk-on turned team captain and starter and all-time winningest quarterback. Bart Houston had some accuracy troubles and had some problems moving the ball. That's why Alex Hornibrook got the time he did in 2016. And then, you know, Hornibrook this year, this past year, I should say, in 17, he had the 15 interceptions, but he also had 25 touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. And his performance in the Orange Bowl was a, you hope it's a premonition of things to come for that Wisconsin offense. And really, you know, there in the spring, he took some strides, and, you know, it's always one thing where people are like, oh, you know, this person, you know, in my reports, this person intercepted Alex Hornibrook. Oh, he threw another interception. And like, he almost, as a reporter, like, if people don't, and I always throw up disclaimers for people during spring practice, who cares if they're interceptions? Because, and Paul Christ has mentioned this, you know, or at least inferred it, where these kids, you know, this is a time for quarterbacks to make mistakes. This is the time where they can go and they can throw the ball however they want to, work on timing with their wide receivers so that they can continue to get better. You don't want this happening during necessarily the last 2 weeks of fall camp or during the season, obviously. So make those, you know, test your limits as much as you can. And if you make interceptions, you know, you're learning from them, you'll watch the film, and you know, as long as you don't see that recurring over and over, and you know, and a lot of the time too, he didn't get a lot of team reps, you know, towards the, I would think, from what I saw, towards the end of spring ball, just because, you know, I mean, he didn't necessarily need the reps compared to some of the backups like Jack Cohn or Danny Vandenboom. So yeah, I think the next step for him and for this offense, which is coming back with your entire starting offensive line, even though the rotation may change and some heads may change when in terms of positions, you have a Heisman caliber running back in Jonathan Taylor. You have four wide receivers right now that, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they distribute the ball. And this offense is going to be high powered, where, you know, the media, some of us have been talking about, can they average 40 points a game like they did in 2010 and 2011, which I think is possible. And yeah, but you know, it all really goes with Hornibrook. One, if he stays healthy. Two, if that decision-making continues, and if you see how he builds off that Orange Bowl performance where he threw for over 250 yards, four touchdowns, and it was the game's offensive MVP. So I, you know, it, my science, my prediction, he will, but it will be interesting to see how it goes. And I mean, he will be, if there's success, you know, he'll get some of the credit. If they fail or if things don't go their way, he'll probably be the scapegoat in fans' eyes, not in the players or the coaches' eyes, but the fans will look to him saying, why isn't Wisconsin's offense doing more?
Yeah, look at what he did last year. When he put against some pretty good defenses, he still played well. Like, I know BYU wasn't great last year, but the defense is still not in that game. They scored 40 points, but he had four touchdowns, no picks in that game. Even the loss to Ohio State, yeah, under 50% wasn't great, but still a 21-27 game. The Miami game mentioned, when they played, beating Michigan wasn't great, but they still win. That's part of it, too. It's like twofold. You win, great. But, like, he's, like, you know his numbers better than me, but over 60% passing, decent QB rating within the conference. And I guess the only, for me, probably, yeah, 62%. I know you have the 97% completion percentage versus BYU, and then a couple sub-50. So it kind of balances out, but he's still, like, if you give me a guy who gets 60% of his passes, 25 touchdowns, top throw in the conference, it's a good quarterback, especially with the running game Wisconsin has. Again, the picks, that's kind of a lot, but that's not a deal breaker if you're completing good enough passes. So it's like, I was looking a bit deeper as you're chatting here. It's like, well, and also the Russell Wilson thing. It's like, Wisconsin's never had a quarterback like that. You know what I mean? It's like, right. It's typically, go back even to Ron Dayne, hand the ball off 35, 50 times. Let the offensive line and running back do the work for you and have a quarterback who is at least above average, and you're going to be a really good team. And so That's what I mean. The next step, you mentioned they bring the line back, the receivers back. If he could go do, what, 66% completion rate, 10 interceptions, 8, that's a huge improvement, even though it's, well, you know what I mean? It's like going from 15 to 8 should be doable, and going 4 to 5% completion points higher, that could be 3 more wins on the schedule if that was even available last year, however many they lost. But you know what I mean? It's like a small improvement for him could be huge. And so, I mean, it's great. I mean, it'll be fine.
Yeah, no, with Hornibrook, too, I mean, like, Scott Tolzien, who has made his career as a backup right now, he's with the Indianapolis Colts, or at least was last season, you know, he made that jump between 2009 and 2010 where he had, you know, I forgot how many interceptions in 2009, but he brought it down to 6 his final year, you know, his final year, and won the Giant Unitas Golden Arm Award on that end. And so, really, you know, that's what you want to see this year, is if he can get that way with Scott Tolzien, like a Tolzien-like year where he reduces those interceptions, those turnovers, increases that completion percentage, which I think Tolzien had about 70% completion percentage that year in 2010 for that offense that scored over 40 points per game. So that's what you want to see. And you talk about the once-in-a-generation quarterback. That's why Wisconsin fans right now are really – there's a – 4-star quarterback, could be potentially 5-star quarterback by the name of Graham Mertz out of Kansas City, Kansas. And the kid right now is at the Elite 11 finals in California. And, you know, he's doing pretty well, you know, probably has a lined up shot to become part of the Elite 11. And this kid's being courted by Ohio State, by Notre Dame. Alabama did offer, even though they have two quarterbacks in this upcoming class, Clemson, LSU, like you name it with the Power Fives, he has it down. But Wisconsin found him early. They've developed a great relationship since. So everyone thinks of him as a second coming. So I mean, with recovering recruiting wise for Bucky's fifth quarter, it's almost like a Mertz watch that we called it with his to do a little pun with his name. So people, they want that quarterback to lead them to the promised land. And I mean, obviously it takes a lot more players than just one quarterback. But yeah, it's Wisconsin fans have kind of a weird thing going on right now ever since Russell Wilson. Nothing against him, obviously. He was a great quarterback. Mm-hmm. But ever since then, you know, the quarterback, there's a big bullseye on that position group.
True. It makes sense because, hey, look what he can do, but it's not even the norm ever for the most part. So let's go to, not to spend too much more time on the offense, but the best player, at least you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, is Jonathan Taylor. He's second-team All-American last year. Probably, I believe he exceeded any expectation people had last year as a true freshman. What is his, like, what's the hype now surrounding him? Because he had almost 2,000 yards, Doak Walker finalist. I'm assuming, like most people, it should be one of the top five guys for the Heisman coming into the preseason. Do you think that's fair to put that upon him?
I think that's fair. I think it's more than fair. What you're also saw in the spring, too, when watching him, like, at the beginning of the practices, he would actually individually work out. Kari Lyles would be the quarterback he just transferred out, or he announced his intention to transfer recently because he got beat out for the backup spot, and then also for I think Danny Vandenboom probably usurped him as the number three quarterback, but I digress. But Taylor would work out with Paul Chris, the head coach, on route running. So I think that's the next phase for Jonathan Taylor, is becoming that all-around back. You saw what he could do with the ball in his hands on the ground, and there are some limited opportunities that he did have as well in the passing game that, you know, looked good, that were promising. And I mean, he broke out last fall camp during a scrimmage that the Big Ten Network was at, where he took a screen pass and he took it 60, 70 some odd yards for a touchdown. So I think that's the next evolution for him, is, you know, can he be that Saquon Barkley type back that can do both out of the backfield in the running game and in the passing attacks for Wisconsin's offense? But yeah, I mean, he barely got any reps at running back with running the ball in like a team setting, or no one really tackled him. But you could just still tell that he has that ability to, I mean, covering him last year, there's a maturity on and off the field with just, you know, just his, he's humble enough with being a player like that, where he just, you know, not getting too ahead of himself. He knows he's a freshman. He knows he has a lot to improve on. He's saying all the right things, but it's a combination of patience on in the backfield for blocks to be set up. It's then, like, he came college ready as a high school high school senior coming into college. I mean, he had that college body already, and they molded it further. And yeah, this year, I think it could be, I mean, we'll see how much he was. He was 23 yards away from 2,000 mm-hmm. for the season. Will he get that much? He definitely has the ability to, especially behind an offensive line, like I said, that has three returning All-Americans, and then potentially another All-American candidate, in my opinion, in Tyler Biadasz at center. And then we'll see what they do with left tackle on that note, where they may slide Michael Dieter back into left guard, and then we'll see what they do at left tackle, potentially with a guy named Cole Van Lannen, who's a former 4-star prep standout from in state here in Green Bay. But really, I think the sky's the limit for him. I think he could do so much. I think he could get 2,000 yards, but then again, like I said, well, injuries, if he gets dinged up a little bit. Also, he had a fumbling problem I think that's one thing he has to really work on there. I know if he can continue to progress as a in the passing game as a blocker and as a receiver, you know, there's just, they have 3 years left or two more years left with him, 18 and then 19, and then he'll declare early, in my opinion. So, you know, which would be smart on his part, especially with all the touches he got last year, and I'm sure he'll get plenty more this year and next year. But honestly, I mean, I'm also wondering with touches with the offense, four wide receivers that are really good, Quintez Cephas, Danny Davis, A.J. Taylor, Kendrick Pryor, they stand out. And how many they'll get, I mean, each of them have a dynamic ability about them, and they made their presence known against Miami, and even before his injury against Indiana, Cephas was having an all Big Ten year, and I don't see him dropping off. He looked good towards the, he was actually practiced the last two practices of spring after being held out. And honestly, he looked impressive. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm, you know, Jonathan Taylor, I mean, Wisconsin's running game, that's their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. I don't see that changing. And I think he's got a big year ahead.
That's what it seems like. Yeah. And also that blocking and pass catching, I don't care how good you are at running back, that's always one thing they got to work on no matter what. So it's always there. It's like the NFL. Like I like the Cowboys, Zeke Elliott. Same thing. Great running the ball, but you got to catch and pass block. That's always something you got to work on. But it'll be great to see because he's going to be amazing this year. But let's go to defense here because that's what we go to next after offense. There's defense. Their defense is always amazing and great. Looking at what they did last year and historically, it's like nothing new. We're going to be groundbreaking here for what they do. They led the league in what, yards per play, total yards, yards per game, I believe. And they bring back, if I'm correct, pretty much at least half the defensive production, right? Just over half, like picks, TFLs, all about half their guys are back, right?
Some of the production, I mean, when TJ Edwards said he was going to come back, the All-American inside linebacker, that really helped out. But they're still replacing 7 of the 11 defensive starters from last year, and plus 2 other contributors. And so you're missing 9 big players. So, I mean, honestly, that's the biggest question mark. And that, I mean, it's not being overly pessimistic about a team. It's being realistic where you have three contributors, major contributors on the defensive line leaving. All were defensive ends that rotated in. So defensive end, you have at least one player from last year that played a position in Isaiah Loudermilk, who he was injured at times too, so he didn't get essentially a full year playing, but he's shown he's a 6'7", 300-pound end that really can get up the field and pass rush when he needs to at times, but you know he's also gotten up to bat some balls. Garrett Rand switching over from nose guard, a nose tackle, to end, and he's looked good. He's built and he's strong at about 270, about 6'2", 6'3", 270-ish, and can really explode. He's one of the strongest players on the team. But so Olive Sangapolu, the nose tackle, about 330-ish, can do a backflip. So, I mean, like, they have the starters there. Yeah, no, the video went viral of him doing a backflip.
Oh, is that who Hawaii. It was last week or something?
Yeah, okay. And Olive is crazy athletic when it comes to that. He does splits. He's shown that before. He did a backflip in high school even. So, I mean, like I said, he could be a special talent. I think if he keeps that weight down, he could be used more. But, I mean, behind them, the depth is really interesting at defensive end. I think Aaron Vopel, who's a redshirt freshman, could step in and help with the rotation. But they're going to need more guys from some unproven names in that area. Outside linebacker besides Andrew Van Ginkel, who really stepped up. I mean, this is another year where two more Badger starters, you know, are finding homes in the NFL. 2 years ago, TJ Watt and Vince Beagle anchored the Wisconsin's outside linebackers. They are now in the NFL. This past year, Leon Jacobs and Garrett Dooley didn't have maybe the same production as high as numbers, but they still produced a lot. And Dooley signed as an undrafted free agent with the Vikings, and Leon Jacobs is the 7th-round draft pick and probably working at the Sam linebacker position for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So you have those guys. So now it's another year where they have to replace starters there. Andrew Van Ginkel worked in with the rotation, a JUCO transfer, and he shined a lot towards the end of the year, had a pick six against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. Also had an interception against Miami that really turned the tide in Wisconsin's favor before it got too out of hand down in Miami. So really, they need to find someone next to him. If it's Zach Bond, who is a crazy athletic, but also has to deal, I mean, he's dealt with injuries and even was injured during spring camp for a portion. There's a walk on Tyler Johnson that's that that stepped up. But there's another, you know, three or four players behind him, behind them that, you know, can they be full-time contributors? Are they going to be used in certain sub packages? We'll see how that goes. Inside linebacker is their strongest part, where you have TJ Edwards and then Ryan Connolly, a former walk-on who led the team in tackles last year. You also have Chris Orr, who has starting experience. And so, I mean, they have the best linebacking, inside linebacking core in the nation, I believe. And Ryan Connolly, in my opinion, is heavily underrated. Great run stuffer, can really go, you know, when you say something, he just goes full jet, you know, puts the jets on, and really can get to the ball carrier or the quarterback, in the backfield. But you know, secondary wise too, man, it's, I mean, they lose three of their four starters. Dakota Dixon's the lone returner. He's a strong safety behind, you know, at safety. I think they found two or three guys that can plug in, they can make it work. Scott Nelson's a redshirt freshman that got some work with the first team defense this spring, that's really stepped up, a big guy about 6'2", and always he is attached to Dixon's hip. And that note, when it comes to, you know, learning from him, is only a, you know, he's a scout team player of the year last year on defense. And so we'll see how he continues to progress. Patrick Johnson was lost for most of last year, but he stepped up during the spring. I thought both of those guys did a good job. And Pat Burrell, who's in like a redshirt sophomore like Johnson, that'll be interesting. But cornerback, I mean, that's I think there's talent there. It's unproven, so it's gonna be interesting to see how they do against Western Kentucky the week before, and then heading into New Mexico. But you know, Fayon Hicks, gosh, there's so many, Madison Cone, Caesar Williams, they're going to compete for the number two cornerback spot next to Dante Carrier-Williams, who is going to be a redshirt sophomore, who was the third cornerback last year when they went to a nickel sub package. And so he played a lot. So he's now the new leader of this, you know, the cornerbacks, with Dixon being the leader of the secondary. So, I mean, they have some questions to answer, but you saw a rotation start in the spring. There are some question marks, though, and it's going to be one thing this year where this may mirror what it was in 2011 and 2010, where the offenses were really good those years, but the defense, you know, in 10 was really good. In 2011, that cost Wisconsin a potential national championship year, with two Hail Marys at the end of the games, costing Wisconsin potentially a perfect season. So before going into the Rose Bowl. So, I mean, we'll see what they do, especially with road games at Michigan, at Penn State, and then they also go to Iowa. They go to Northwestern with, you know, you're going to say, no, Northwestern's not that big, but Northwestern going to Ryan Field has always been a pain in Wisconsin's side until they won in 2016 during that season. So a long-winded answer. I mean, the defense is the biggest question mark. Yeah, defense is the biggest question mark right now for Wisconsin, and they have the talent there. I'd say at, you know, three of the four major positions there. I'm still not to say I'm skeptical about the defensive line, but I'm just wondering, you know, they said that they have players at that position. I'm just wondering who really, you know, besides, yeah, you know, Vopel, Loudermilk, and Rand at ends, who else? They need at least, I think, two more ends to step up there. And they have a true freshman nose tackle by the name of Bryson Williams, who I think asserted himself all right as a true freshman going straight from high school into his first spring set of spring practices. I mean, he's physically ready. Anoki Brechterfield, the defensive line coach, told me early in spring, now it's just getting them the techniques and the fundamentals. So, and he's attached to Sangapolu's hip as well when it comes to drills. So, I mean, the young kids know how to work. It's now just getting it down well. I didn't even talk about on the offensive side about young guys, Aaron Cruikshank, a wide receiver who could be really special, but you know, we'll see how that comes. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. There's some question marks.
Yeah, looking through, it looks like decent production, but just like the depth. It's like you mentioned how many starters are gone. They always have a good recruiting class, at least obviously compared to New Mexico and even most of the league and country. They're always up there. It's always a question mark. Even if, you know, you got this true freshman, four-star guy, should be great, size is there, but he's never played before. Or he played six games last year as a backup. So that's always a concern. So with this, one thing where I think, kind of chat about the Lobos for a moment here. The way their offense works, last year was kind of a step back where they run the most. If you've never seen their offense, I always tell people, watch New Mexico football, because it's probably the most unique offense in the country for what they do. They'll run pistol, they'll run diamond, they'll run the veer option, they'll run a true triple option with a fullback. They'll run the most unique run option attack, more so than Army, Georgia Tech, Air Force, even going the opposite end with what you see like Urban Meyer, Ohio State, the spread stuff he did at Utah and play other places across the country that run Mike Leach at Washington State. Watch what they do because it's just fun. Problem is this year, or last year, the talent wasn't there. They weren't having guys breaking off 50 yards, being number one in the country in yards per play and rushing. Total rushing yards are up there. They have a new OC coming in from Arizona. But with the way this uniqueness of the offense goes from New Mexico and they're running attack, is there, you mentioned the new guys on defense stepping up. I think the Lobos can make a couple of plays. There'll be some big play. Like when you play an offense you've never seen. Is that a concern for you, the way they type this offense you could be facing just because it's so different from anything Wisconsin has seen?
I mean, that's a great point to point out. If they can run multiple schemes like that and multiple types of offense, I mean, Wisconsin, you know, a lot of times you'll, you know, like a Northwestern will be spread, but then they go to Iowa and they'll play a pro style set, right? Where two tight ends, like a 21 or 12, 22 personnel, 12 personnel type stuff. We'll see. I think they'll be prepared for it. I think the talent's there. There may be times, like even last year with how good the defense was, they had miscommunication in the secondary at times where, you know, against Florida Atlantic, which turned out to possibly be one of the best games that they won, you know, based off of what Lane Kiffin did out down there in Boca Raton. You mean, honestly, you know, they gave up a 65-yard touchdown pass, right? And so they at times the secondary gave up some big plays early on. And so if they can capitalize on that, you know, communication, you know, gaps here and there, maybe they'll see, you know, I would say they'll have at least some game film from Western Kentucky to capitalize. But even early last year too, I mean, Utah State, they were tied at halftime and that season opener
somehow.
And I mean, this bad, you know, gosh, I forgot what happened there, but just I think it was an interception. And there's an interception.
Probably Jalen Davis did something, I'm betting.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know what I mean? So this team, you know, they have to get off. I mean, they should win and probably handily, but I mean, they could expose some just
it's different. That's all it is. It's so different than what anybody sees. That's like any non-conference game you play. It's like, okay, I know this team runs this and with the new OC, but they're not going to change too much what they're doing because they fired their old OC. He thinks he's the head coach now at Georgia Southern. He was at Sam Houston State before, but it's just that crazy run attack where it's just so different. It's like anytime I tell us anybody when you play Air Force, like when they played Michigan, Oklahoma, you're not going to – this is different than New Mexico, but you're not going to blow that team out. You might win by 17 points, but it's going to be a really hard-earned 17-point victory against that team. This offense is kind of like that, but they don't have the players. Like, had this been the New Mexico team from 2 years ago when they were co-division champs, they beat Boise State, they still probably wouldn't beat Wisconsin, but it'd be much more of a fun type of game. I still think there'll be a player or two, but you're right. They'll probably, I think, isn't the early line, 24 points, 28 points this one? I think it's out there. That's probably safe to say because Lobo's defense is just dreadful. And it hasn't been good forever. And I'm afraid who Taylor is going to run for 400 yards against and the poor Lobo linebacker trying to tackle him or something. So that's the real concern. Or, hey, you need depth at running back? Here's some reps in the New Mexico game for you guys.
Right. No, I mean, that'll be interesting to see how much they utilize them. And I mean, many things can happen. You know, you don't want injuries on players, obviously, but that's always, I mean, Wisconsin, I mean, before Taylor's emergence, Bradrick Shaw and Chris James, I was on board with a big 1-2 punch last year. And I liked Chris James so much. I thought he could be a Heisman candidate. And now he's going to be probably a third down running back. And, you know, it really, I mean, because he flashed both being a player that could go out of the backfield on a screen pass or could go and, run between the tackles as well or do some speed option work when it came to our speed sweep work. So, yeah, honestly, so, I mean, like I said, they both got kind of dinged up here and there. And next thing you know, a true freshman is working his way possibly for a, you know, Doak Walker finalist award. So a lot can change now. But I mean, you know, Wisconsin should win this barring any unforeseen circumstances, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that, I mean, like I said, offense should roll defense, you know, waiting to see those unproven players step up.
So what's your, like, not a score prediction, but like, what's your expectation? Like, should usually win by at least 3 touchdowns. Would that be a comfortable enough win for you?
I think so. Like 3 or 4 touchdowns, 24 point.
No,
I mean,
it's fine.
I think with the way the offense, if you're saying how bad New Mexico's defense is mm-hmm. and how Wisconsin could be, that's going to be the key matchup there. And I think Wisconsin just, I mean, if they can't stop Jonathan Taylor, they will run the ball down the throat until the game's out of hand. And so if they're going to keep giving it to him, I wouldn't see why not. If they somehow stuff Jonathan Taylor, the passing game, they got, like I said, four capable wide receivers. They have two tight ends that, I mean, they're going to have to replace Troy Fumagalli on offense. They'll have to also replace Austin Ramish, the fullback, the versatile fullback that leapt over Hurricanes in the Orange Bowl back in December. But really, that offense should roll. So if you stuff them in the running game, you're going to have to see what the four wide receivers can do out in the open field too. So I think Wisconsin wins handily. If it's anything lower than 21 points for a win, that's when I'd get, that's when I think that'd be more. I would say
eyebrow maybe, raised, maybe?
Yeah. That or just like, okay, they should have blown them out and they know that they have to improve. And so then I'd feel bad for BYU after that. But this team, I mean, Paul Chris has his team. They know they have to improve each day. They know they have a long ways to go. They started up summer conditioning last week. So, and they're getting some of the other true freshmen in after their high school careers are wrapping up for track, like some of the wide receiver commits. So, I mean, really it's, the guys get to work, they have the right mentality. Now it's just, piece by piece, putting it together and seeing if they can get to that college football playoff.
Excellent. I think we've covered quite a bit and plenty for Lobo fans to know how to say, go say hi to the tailgate, get your enjoyment in before the game, because during the game, it's probably not going to be too pretty after the first quarter. Maybe they'll surprise us. Who knows, right? Maybe it'll be a little bit interesting, and then there'll be a late blowout because there's three fourth quarter touchdowns. That might be the best thing the Lobo fans may want to hear. It's like, all right, it's a 7-point game. Maybe not for you, but 10-point game, but fourth quarter, then Wisconsin blows it open. That might be the best of both. A 30-point win, but it's close until the fourth quarter. That's right. That's going to be sort of helpful for both sides.
Right, right. No, I think you guys are right. I mean, like, yeah, like I said, make sure you guys check out the tailgate. People are really good about things. Wisconsin, I mean, unless you're a Minnesota fan or a Nebraska fan or Iowa fan, that's when it gets kind of – not that people get mean. Sometimes they can't – fan bases always have those few people that are very
– always, yeah.
Yeah, not nice, but, I mean, go up and enjoy the game. People aren't going to bite your head off. Wisconsin fans are, from what I can tell, good people. So make sure you guys enjoy that.
Here's what you do.
Enjoy time.
If you're from Lobos – bring the green chili for the tailgate to mix with the brats.
That could be interesting.
I've only been to Mexico like twice. I never knew about green chili until a couple years ago, but that seems like it'd be a good topping for a brat, possibly.
It could. I mean, we'd have to tinker with it, but
yeah,
I think you could.
Just go bring something to trade, man. Here's my green chili. Give me a brat. See how it goes, right?
Exactly.
All right. So thank you, Jake, so much for hopping on with us. Everybody check him out on Twitter, Jake Coco B5Q. That's a KOCO Bucky's fifth quarter. Also, you are the co-author, as we discussed before, the walk on this way over at kcisports.com, and looks like Amazon still, is that correct? You can pick it up there.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah. Please do. Always fun.
Yes. And if you listen to the show, you've heard about former walk on, current walk on, stuff like that. So there's still going on. There's all the players. They seem to find guys like, hey, we can make this guy pretty good. Ends up being the star for the team at some position. So that's always a good read to learn about those guys, because it's those are the fun stories too. There's always it's just good stories. Go get the book. That's all I'm saying. Go check it out if you want to hear college football history, walk on stuff, because they have one of the. Would you say it's the best walk on tradition possibly in college football or up there?
Currently.
Just say yes. It's your book. Come on, yes. Just say yes.
Yeah, definitely yes. I mean, Nebraska. You still hear Nebraska fans. Oh, we had mm-hmm. these guys. I'm like, well. Did you take a look at the most recent stuff? Nebraska knows rebuilding ever since Osborne, and then them firing Frank Solich, which I'm still look what you got now with who you've had with Callahan and then Bo Pelini and Mike Riley. So I'm sure Scott Frost has made it. He said he's made it an emphasis to get the walk-ons back on track there. But yeah, Wisconsin by far, in my opinion. The consistency and who they've churned out in terms of All-Americans, NFL-bound players, even just, like I said, from it's not just those that are contributing on special teams. You look at what they're doing with consistent starters, all-conference players, Burlesworth Trophy finalists, whatnot. Wisconsin's, they've built that up, and it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Excellent, that's for sure. So check that out and check BuckiesFifthQuarter.com and thank you for hopping on with me. I'm hoping we do a bunch of these down the road for all these non-conference opponents. It'll be fun. And so, yeah, Jake, thanks for hopping on. And everyone else who's tuning in, you know where to find us. iTunes, let me edit that. We haven't been on that forever. iTunes for sure. Basically, wherever you can buy a podcast for free, we're there for you. So check us out. All those fun places, Stitcher, everything you want to go. I guess tune in as well. But until next time, folks, we'll see you then.